All right, welcome to another edition of Green Legion Radio, live from Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. Dave, did that come on too loud?
No, it's good.
Okay, I was just checking. You just raised that headset off your head like it was...
I wanted to hear how beautiful your voice sounded at Chickies and Pete's.
Please, we obviously know that's not the case. Everybody, if you are in the area, come down to Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. We've got $2.75 Yingling Lagers all night. Obviously, the best crab fries and excellent food you can have. We're going to talk more about Chickies and Pete's and how they've been hosting us already for the first 4 weeks. Coming up in just a minute. We are going to get to the panel. We're going to get to every bit of sponsor note. First thing we have to do right now, though, we have a very prestigious guest on our panel tonight, and we do not start anything with somebody who is Hawaiian without proper credentials. Just so you know, we all have these, but ours suck. Yours is pretty awesome.
Oh, dang. They do it big out here. Thank you.
Kamu Grugier Hill with the lady.
Kamu Grugier Hill, yes.
By the lovely Connie, got laid by...
I didn't do it. Connie, human resource violation, if you didn't hear that. Everybody, subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. We did not crack the top 10 last week. We cracked 11. We got from 12 to 11.
Awesome.
Top rated sports podcasts, top listened to sports podcasts on iTunes. We will get there. And, sir, maybe with a little bit of help from you.
Awesome sauce.
Team captain, coming up.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So you got a lot of responsibility besides a coin flip today, brother.
Hey, everybody, we're here with the captain. You know, the captain of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I know.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Trust me, we couldn't be happier about our guest tonight. We're going to get to everybody here in just a second. The Green Legion Radio Show is brought to you by our amazing sponsors at Miller Lite, Stateside Vodka, Workhorse Brewery, Bucks County Baseball Company, David Dodge Chrysler Jeep, the Manioc Sport and Social Club, All City Fitness, Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, Market East, our good friends and podcast friends at 4th and John.
What up?
Coming with us to
Buffalo
at the end of the month. Now that we are in October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, by the way, everybody, make sure. Stay pink.
Yes.
Our good friend Sean Brace and Philly Influencer and also The Gambler on 102.5. And, of course, every Tuesday, our big sponsor, Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia, live here off of Packer Avenue. Come down. Check us out now. Get your autograph from Kamu Grugier Hill. Get your autograph from Hollis Thomas. Get your photograph. Get your autograph from Dave Spadaro. Even though he's just a guest again tonight, but he doesn't think that he's worthy of an autograph, I would like your autograph, sir.
I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah, it's
Eagles
great.
Are winning. Everybody's happy again. Big win in Green Bay last Thursday night. I know it took you like 3 or 4 days to recover from the trip.
I'm sorry. You feel as though I'm recovered already.
Yes, of course. You got to bounce back, man. I've
been drinking tea for the last 48 hours trying to get it back.
So, Kamu, this is Green Legion. Quimby runs Green Legion. And all those fans that were at Lambeau Field, thanks to him. He's the one who organizes travels, all the Eagles fans. They were unbelievable.
It was like a home game.
It was pretty amazing, honestly. I will tell you right now, from a Green Legion standpoint, running trips for 17 seasons right now, this was probably top three regular season games for the Green Legion, just by virtue of how it played out, the drama involved, the length of time, and just the win at the end. Nigel Bradham had an opportunity to pick six. He dropped. Nigel Bradham at the end of the game closes it out. Doesn't need to pick six, just needs to kneel.
Well, when you have a trip, man.
he got a shot in, didn't he?
Hey, let me tell you something. Defensive guys don't get their hands on the ball much. So every time we get a chance, we're going to try to house it.
I hear you.
Would you have taken it out of the end zone?
Oh, 100%.
That me. 100%.
That's awesome.
Not me.
That's awesome. Diaz, you had something to say.
Well, I'm saying I saw what you guys were up to on Friday night. So a big win on the road on a Thursday night, and you're staying an extra night in Green Bay. I mean, you got to get that win. And
it would have been a somber Friday evening.
I was getting updates. It seemed like every hour, and they were getting more and more and more. Everyone's having a good time.
And there were less and less indigenous folk from Green Bay.
Here's a question. How did you get, how do you get tickets? Because because Lambeau Field, I can't imagine.
Trade secret, Dave. Trade secret.
I get that.
That's
but
what
it was,
I was wondering,
was
too, because honestly, like, even when their offense was on the field, like, they're trying to quiet everyone down.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't shut up.
So I was like, how do they get so many fans in here?
Yeah, I mean, they don't. Packers fans don't give up their tickets, right?
No, they really don't.
There were only two really standout games on our schedule this year. It was Miami. From a travel standpoint, and understand, there's a fraternity / sorority. There's a secret, not so secret society of people that just want to get out of Philadelphia every year for an Eagles game. And the top two were Green Bay and Miami. When people, you know, found out Green Bay was on Thursday, didn't matter. They still wanted to come. And you know, everything else in Green Bay.
If the game was in December, you think they would have had the same?
Hell no.
Yeah, that's how we're lucky.
That was the
Buffalo
last time
too.
We were there.
Oh, yeah. All right. When it's cold, it's
everybody
no fun.
Said, oh, I really kind of wish I experienced the frozen tundra when it was frozen.
No,
you are so inaccurate.
Oh, God.
That
no.
sucks.
Hollis, you ever play there?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
It was brutal. We played one time in December. It was god awful.
Yeah. Was that the game that Greg Lewis fumbled the punt? That was.
Was it?
That was the
I don't think
game.
I was there.
That was week two in 2007.
I think.
Yeah,
you already gone?
I was the Saints. Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry to bring up the bad memories.
It was a good time.
Hey,
the Saints.
No bad juju here, Dave.
Yeah, you got paid. You're
yes,
good.
I did. Yeah. Ultimately,
everybody, my panel, real fast to my immediate left, producer Rob Valivas. Eagles insider Dave Spadaro spending another week with us. We are happy to have you once again as
Thank
a guest.
You.
Linebacker, brother, you have no idea how happy we are to have you on our show
now. He's got a little bromance with you, Kamu.
Whatever, dude. Kamu Grugier Hill?
Grugier?
Grugier?
I'm speaking for you. I apologize.
You're lucky I can get Kamu out right. Big dog tank, Hollis Thomas.
Awesome sauce.
There it is. Chris Sackmaster sitting in for an important segment today.
Yeah.
You got to turn it on.
You sure?
Yeah,
you positive?
Is it on?
We're a team. We can share down there.
You're going to have to share down there.
Yeah, share down there.
All right.
What is the segment?
Quimby, I thought you loved me, man.
I honestly do, and I just wanted to do that so your wife would laugh at you. Where is she? There she is.
I was just saying because you sat me next to Diaz. I haven't ripped him in about a month. So
you guys will wind up cheek to cheek the entire time. We've been waiting for that.
Awkward.
And of course,
moving on.
And of course, Philly Mike, you know him as Shut Up Diaz. How are you, sir?
What is up, my man?
You guys, we got a lot to get to in a short amount of time. We do want to discuss for exactly 5 minutes. There's going to be an alarm. It starts 5 minutes, Phillies. Chris, this is your show for 5 minutes. Want to do it. But, of course, this is after. Hollis, what happened today in sports history?
Yeah, today is October the 1st. It's the 297th day. Is that it? Is that correct? No, 274th day.
There you go.
Good job, Hollis.
You wrote this down, brother.
I know. I wrote this down. Spell check. 274th day of the year. There's 91 days left. We're going to start back in 1903 when the very first World Series game was played.
Ooh.
Cy Young lost.
Oh.
Cy Young lost. It was played between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Boston Americans. Go to 1931 when the Philadelphia A's, they beat the Cardinals in the first game of the World Series. But they went out, they were going for their third straight World Series title, but they ended up losing to the St. Louis Cardinals. 1975. What the Sam here? 1975, the Thriller.
You just got laid by Quimby, Hollis.
Oh, dear Lord, no.
Count your lucky stars.
He maybe missed my spot. In 1975-71, Walt Disney opened up. In Florida, Walt Disney World opened up. That's my own personal one.
Great.
1975, the Thriller in Manila. The Thriller with Frazier and Ali.
Absolutely.
And we got a couple of birthdays. We're going to start off with my daughter's birthday is actually Saturday, so
she
probably
gets
happy birthday, Haley.
By the way, one of the coolest kids you'll ever meet.
another few quick birthdays. Today is 1928, George Peppard from the A-Team.
Uh-huh.
1935, Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins.
Wow, you have issues.
Music, right?
Yes, I do.
You're still going to sleep at night, huh?
Yes, I am.
All right.
1955, Howard Hewitt. And today is International Be Kind to Raccoons Day.
What
kind of International Be Kind to Raccoons Day?
Man, I can't even play the clip I want.
Yeah, real. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Be kind to raccoons.
Why would you be kind to raccoons?
Dirty rabies infested.
Yeah. Why would you want to be kind to a raccoon?
Because you have to be politically sensitive.
Oh, here we go.
All right, here we go. All right. Hollis, thanks for that.
Thanks.
Chris, we got to talk Phillies real quick, and I am ready for you to throw them in front of a gasoline truck. However, we don't do that on this show.
No, we don't.
But we are going to politely throw them under a bus a little bit. Here's the sack stat, Chris Sack, our official Phillies, Sixers, and Flyers correspondent. You got to take it, Diaz. Just take it. You're a host. You're a host.
Deal with it.
You're a host. All right? Chris, I'm going to say one thing. This team has had two pretty incredible collapses.
Yes.
Over the last two seasons.
We
see the insufficiencies in the manager. Where do we go? Where do we go? Why is there so much patience with this guy and, in all fairness, the rest of the crew?
The front office, too.
Yeah.
You want me to try and tone it down a little bit? I feel bad for my wife because I practically was practicing this on the way over, but I'll be more...
Okay, don't swear. Go to town.
So, it's like I said, I'm tired of hearing about scratching, clawing, and fighting. I'm done with it. It's been overly positive the last 2 years.
That's football, baby.
And I'm done with it. I mean, I had to listen to this stuff over the last week of the season when practically they were eliminated from postseason contention. And for me, if you're going to be eliminated, at least go down with some fight. But they haven't. The last two Septembers, they haven't. They've had collapses the last two Septembers. Last September, in the last week of the season, they hit the road and went to Colorado. They got swept in a four-game series. And they wouldn't just get swept. They got destroyed.
Right.
Then they went on a road trip this past week. They went for five games in D.C. They got swept in a five-game series for the first time in 40 years. And pretty much they got the floor wiped with them. That first game of the doubleheader on Tuesday.
I like how you pulled that back for a second. That was good.
Absolutely. I got you. So Blake Parker opens up the game as a starter. He's a bullpen reliever. Tuesday, they have him start the game, and then they go into a bullpen game when they weren't even eliminated yet. So in my opinion, Gabe Kapler is just completely clueless. And I know Diaz has been putting out there with an article about how all these shots and all these calls are coming from the front office. Listen, at the end of the day, when it comes to being a manager in baseball, numbers don't really help. It's a lot of it is about a gut feel. And if you're not completely sure about this guy who has 1 year left on a three-year contract after back-to-back seasons where they've collapsed, you need to cut ties. And you need to separate yourself from this. And it's not just, and I'm not just putting everything on Kapler. And I know he was dealt a bad hand this year. The starter rotation was awful with Velasquez and Pivetta and Arrieta with his bone spur, which I think was complete crap to begin with. And then the bullpen, seven of your eight guys that were supposed to be in the bullpen got hurt. I understand he wasn't dealt a good hand, but he's not a good manager. And they need to move on. And there's guys out there like Joe Maddon, Joe Girardi, Buck Showalter, Dusty Baker. You have to make a change. And this is the time, and this is the place. You have a superstar on your roster, and you want to try and attract a starting pitcher like Garrett Cole. You need a new guy to take over the helm, and he's got to have veteran experience.
Who's on our thread on a text messages? Dave Murphy from the Inquirer? Right?
That was one of them.
I love that line. Go ahead, Diaz. What do you have to say?
Well, I am. Whenever I speak about this Phillies team, it always sounds like I'm a Kapler apologist, which I'm not. Maybe he does need to go. I just don't think that the manager was the root of the problem. You know, I think that everyone overreacts for that one play in game 92 in August or July or whenever. He's not... I don't mind if Kapler stays or goes. I don't think that he was going to be plus 12 wins or minus. And I'm just looking at a column right here that says over the last two years, the Phillies outperformed their win-loss expectancy by six games. So I just don't think the team was that good. They were doomed from the start. It wasn't going to happen. We talk about collapse and stuff. I just don't think they were that good.
Can I chime in something?
Yes. Absolutely.
I know
Dave.
Nobody cares, but here's what I think about the Phillies.
Dave.
Here's what drives me crazy about the Phillies. Okay. What drives me crazy about the Phillies is they can't win with small ball. Their fundamentals are terrible. They don't get runners from first to second, second to third. They don't manufacture runs. They hit a home run. They hit five home runs. They win games. And to me, that's a strategy of a manager. Like, I'll talk about a great coach, Doug Peterson, who figures out ways to win games.
Correct.
And the Phillies... haven't figured out ways to win games with what they have. They've got plenty of talent. Now, certainly the bullpen injuries hurt and losing McCutchen hurt, but they don't do the little things. When I look at teams, whatever sport it is, I look at the little things, the fundamentals, and that goes back to coaching.
That's undisciplined team, and this is watching the Phillies on offense. Yes. Sorry.
Quimby, one final point before we head off, because you know we have Kamu in here, and we need to talk to him, and we need to talk about the Big Birds win this past Thursday.
Yes, sir.
But my last point about this, and I'll take it from my dad, who I grew up learning baseball and loving baseball with, and he said it earlier on one of my Facebook posts about this, because I'm on the Gabe Kapler Fire Watch. So he said, I'm not saying that he's a good manager. Just end it right there. He's not a good manager. And if he's not a good manager, why are we hanging on to him? Right. Move on.
Right.
Like we all believed in Chip Kelly, right? He was the savior. He was the guy who was going to win this thing. And then we fired him, and then we went out and got Doug Peterson. And everyone's like, why did we hire Doug? Doug, backup quarterback? Look what he's done. You got to go out and find somebody else. Yep. And that's the direction we need to go in. Let's talk some birds.
All be careful at this point. I am starting to get comfortable enough with this show. I'm going to start using my sound bites again.
You don't want the soundboard. Trust me. All. You do not want the soundboard.
At which immediately gets me to this one.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
All right. We got to get to some football. Chris, thank you for your entire season with the Phillies this year. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Chris.
All of us on our show have been better educated because of your Phillies knowledge. We say that time and time again. We look forward to doing the same thing with the Flyers with you, and we look forward to schooling Diaz when it comes to the Sixers.
I get to watch more Sixers basketball this year. So,
yeah.
Guess what? That Green Legion suite down at the Wells Fargo Center is going to help.
That's my seat. They're all my seats.
Did you hear that, drone? That's my seat.
Right.
If he's allowed seat. To come out now.
Woo! You guys, we're going to get to a first break, but before that, we do need to hit the Around the League segment that we have. And, Kamu, I'm going to hit you right now. Well, obviously not. I'm going to hit you up right now for your knowledge, because I want to know, and this is hot on the plate, as a linebacker in the NFL, what do you think about Burfict and what took place with everything there? Because let's be honest, this is not this guy's first offense. Mm-hmm. It probably wouldn't be his last.
Nope.
I still am pissed off at Zach Ertz just a little bit for not having a chance to take both his knees out in the Cincinnati game 2 years ago when Burfict was not looking, going right at Carson. Just lay your shoulder down. But in all fairness, Burfict is about, 245 pounds of solid steel. Talk to me about what you think here. I want to know everything as a linebacker that you have to say about this.
I'm biased, like you said, as a linebacker. Sometimes it's hard to pull up on certain hits. But, you know, the guy has a long record of doing illegal hits and head-to-head especially. So I knew this was coming at some point. And you know, there's so many guys in the league that get chance after chance after chance. And it's like finally – and I might get killed by other players for saying this, but it's good to see them putting a stop to that and actually giving him some, you know, some timeout time.
Because it's an illegal hit. Yeah. I mean, right, Hollis?
It's an illegal hit. It's an illegal hit. If they continue to give you chance after chance, you can't keep throwing it back in their face. Yeah. It's like he knows better. It's kind of like when you're doing the quarterback. When they told you couldn't put your weight on the quarterback. It's like, so you have to start laying the quarterback down and then lay next to him. So it's you have to learn how to play the way the refs are reffing.
Yeah, he may not like it, but you have to adapt your game.
Exactly.
Well, and even that, adapt your game when it's a, you know, you're making an aggressive play, there's one thing. But, you know, Jack Doyle was wrapped up.
Yeah.
I mean, he was standing there.
He was on one knee.
Yeah. You know, it's these are egregious hits that,
okay,
are dangerous.
So let's be impartial here and say, what's the difference between that hit and then what Derek Barnett did?
Okay. Well, first off, Burfict's taken out an all-pro team. You know what I mean? He's taken out three or four guys this.
Derek, I think, just there was no whistle, right?
Well, I know he probably couldn't hear the whistle. You can hear the whistle loud and clear on TV, But I know the guys are down there, they're shedding everything out. So he probably didn't hear a whistle and saw the runner still struggling. And so as a player, you're going up to exact some what we call street justice and make sure he's down. Because if you let him go and he starts running, everybody say you're supposed to play to the whistle. Well, I didn't hear a whistle, so that's why it didn't look egregious either. Yeah. And it's a little different. And Derek Barnett, you know Derek Barnett, he's not that type of guy. You know Vontaze Burfict, and you know that he's that type of guy. So it's kind of a catch-22, but you have to weigh the options and the track record.
And also, you know, I think like as a defender, it's a little unwritten rule that if running backs are gonna try and stay up and not go down, you're gonna give them a little something extra to.
Gonna give him a pop,
to, you know, cut that out. So, but obviously, I think that was just a bang bang play.
Yeah, we'll see if that suspension lasts. Maybe they.
Yeah, I guarantee they cut it to half.
They probably
which is still a lot.
It's still the longest ever. Still a ton. And you know what? At that point, I believe he probably won't. He'll consider not doing it again. But he's in the tail end of his career.
Was he suspended before or just fine?
Oh, yes, he's been suspended for 12 games already.
Yes, he has. There's no way it's going to happen.
Fines over $400,000.
Exactly. He just can't get right.
$400,000.
He can't get right.
Yeah. Hollis.
Yes, sir.
You and I talked about this.
Okay.
Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. And Sean McDermott's comments in a post-game press conference about Josh Allen getting hit, and there's no room for it in football. What do you have to say?
I have to say that if your quarterback is going to turn into a runner, he needs to slide, or he needs to make a better business decision than trying to put your head down and get the first down, or you're going to get your ass tore off. They're going to load a dynamite on you. It's like it's no different, and we get to do it now because you've turned into a runner. You took it, taking all that other sliding stuff away, and you really want this first down? And I guarantee you, had he ran number 31 over, that play would be played over and over and over, talking about how tough he is.
Right.
But given the circumstances, he had already threw three picks, and they were trying to tie the game up or go ahead. And so it was third and eight. It was a big play. He pulled the ball down and ran. He saw the first down marker, lowered his head.
Exactly.
And the other guy was trying to get his head out of the way. And I just think Sean McDermott should look at the film before you make those type of comments.
I agree. Everybody here at Chickies and Pete's, do not forget. They have a great football season promotion. Limited Eagles Philadelphia collectible glasses for $8 with a nice cold domestic draft beer and a $2 refill. The glasses have images of all your favorite players, including our favorite layup here. Everybody, we'll be back right after this. All right. Back here at Chickies and Pete's live in South Philadelphia. We have our next segment. While everybody's picking up and banging their microphones, I appreate that.
Sorry.
My bad. He's like the technician Nazi here.
Monday night at Chickies and Pete's during football season, all you can eat Chickies wings and world-famous crab fries. Make sure you take advantage of that special. Don't forget as well about our good friends at WIP and the Brandon Graham special on Monday nights here at Chickies and Pete's. All right, everybody. Moving forward, we're getting to the Eagles game recap right now. Dave, please, sir. Needs your knowledge on a couple injuries.
Go ahead.
How is our good friend of the program, Avante Maddox?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's okay. Have you talked to Avante, Kemmel?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
I was at his house yesterday. He's doing well. He's obviously a little banged up, but it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Is he on protocol right now?
Yeah, he's still on protocol. I think that's the worst of it is the concussion. So, yeah. I mean, thank God it was any neck. You know, so
he's so tough, isn't he, man? I mean,
yeah.
he was here a few weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
He's a tough guy. I mean, I don't know if he's playing this week. I don't know. That information comes from Doug.
Right.
But glad that it's nothing long term. Right. Go ahead. Who else?
Good. DeSean Jackson. Any shot of this week?
I don't know. I really don't know.
We're asking.
I haven't heard a thing.
We are merely asking.
I really don't expect anything from you. Yeah, I really don't know. I don't see DeSean. He's not around. When the media's around, I haven't really seen him much in the building. He's doing treatment all the time. So I don't know.
What about Ronald Darby?
Ronald Darby, I would think, is still out for a little while.
All right.
And then Sidney Jones had the hamstring injury.
Sidney.
Hopefully he comes back. Cornerbacks are few and far between healthy. Eagles signed Orlando Scandrick, Craig James, Rasul Douglas. Those are your healthy cornerbacks. the New York Jets.
I was glad that Hollis got the Sidney reference.
Sidney
reference.
And then who else is hurt? Timmy Jernigan's
Timmy
still
Jernigan,
out?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Jalen Mills practicing.
Jalen Mills is not eligible to come back until the 28th of October.
Is he practicing?
Awesome.
No, he's not allowed to practice until then.
Correct. Same thing with LeBlanc?
With who? LeBlanc is not eligible to come back until, I think, week 8.
He can practice, though. He's on IR.
He's not allowed to practice. When you're on IR, you can't practice.
Are you sure?
We'll delete that from the show.
I don't think you can, man.
We'll go to Google.
This is where DSS
Kamu, you're a player.
Are you supposed to know?
No, I guess.
Yeah, players really don't. I've always found this. Can Kamu back me up or not? And Collis, you back me up. Okay. Like players, most of them, not most of them, but a lot of them don't watch football. A lot of them don't really know anything other than like doing their
don't
job.
Don't they have enough of it?
They just do their job. Right, like
I'm a football fan, so like a lot of my teammates are like, oh, I don't even watch that game or whatever. I'm like, I enjoy going home and like watching the game, but there are certain things I'm like, I don't know, that's not my position.
Right. Right. Do you know the names of every guy on the team? Like if Orlando Scandrick walked past,
I think I could do maybe the practice squad guys, not so much, but most of the guys, yeah.
Hollis, did you watch football when you were a player?
I watched all sports.
Did you?
I still watch all sports.
Yeah, well,
and Maury.
And if you include Maury Bogovic. And, sir, you are not the father as a sport, well, then you're in good shape.
Follow Hollis on Instagram. He does a blow-by-blow of it every day.
Every day. Fastest cameraman known to man are the guys on Maury.
Everybody, back to the game on Thursday. One of the best games, A, that I've ever witnessed live on a road trip with the Green Legion, period. It was an awesome game, just the way it unfolded. Defense, Kamu, rest of you. All right, way to start getting some pressure in there. Wasn't always hitting Aaron for a sack, but he was getting touched. He was getting hit. Mm-hmm. He was getting pressured. It worked. We did get to him a couple times. Hollis, the O-line.
Yeah.
I am so happy you guys finally let Howard loose.
Yes!
Let it's him loose time. All day long, please.
You see how easy it was for the offensive line once they started running the ball? Once they started running the ball, those play action fakes, they actually worked.
I'm the big pass first and run second. That's
that's why you get your quarterback smashed in the mouth.
I'm from the Andy Reid days. I mean, that's what Andy Reid always does. Ran early and or
I think you run on first down, and depending on what you do on first down, that determines second down.
You know what you're going to hate, though? It's proven, though, that like throwing on first down is more efficient than running. That's the analytics nerd.
But what if you get an incomplete?
And here we are back to Gabe Kapler, and we said the Phillies are over.
Incomplete.
Oh, but talk about the offensive line. You see that Peters play? I don't know if it was a corner or a safety. He's just like, nah.
Nah, exactly. Nah. But you give
one
the
arm.
You give the offensive line confidence when you run the ball first and let them get going. You get that juice flowing. But if you start off passing the rock like y'all want to, then the defense, we're juiced up.
Wait.
We're juiced up for that.
The Eagles offense did not score in the first quarter, trailed 10-0. Mm-hmm. Then Miles Sanders has the big kickoff return, and then the game turned around. It was a good mix.
It was a good mix, but go back to the beginning of what you said. The beginning at the
ran the ball early.
They ran the ball twice, and then proceeded to pass, and that did not work.
I mean,
I'm
just glad. I think the Eagles' offense is great, playing great football. Defense needs
starting
to be better.
They're starting to click. But I have a concern.
Okay,
I have a major concern. And I did think Carson looked pretty crisp. He's starting to get back into form. You're 4 weeks in. This is about what took place or what would take place if you played an entire preseason. Mm-hmm. So he's starting to get back into rhythm.
He's got 9 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions.
Awesome. Understood.
Looked pretty crisp.
Pretty crisp.
Exactly. Two bad throws all night. Were you drinking too much in Green Bay?
Listen. I'm not dulling out compliments, right, like I am paychecks, and yours isn't coming next week.
You should dole out compliments to the quarterback.
Quimby, he is the number one ranked quarterback by Pro Football Focus in the first 4 weeks.
That's great.
Chris Sack.
I want to know why this offense is starting off slow every
week. Is he really?
I'm sorry. While you were all wallowing in your own,
go ahead.
I want to know why this team is starting off slow every week.
Everybody wants to know that. Doug has talked about it all spring, all summer. It's a work in progress. It'll get there.
Yeah, don't look at me. I play defense.
I know.
Yeah, Kamu, why aren't the Eagles scoring
Kamu
more
likes
points
this for discussion.
Damn you, sir.
And by the way, let me defend the Eagles. The Eagles' defense is getting criticized and give up a lot of yards and all that. But 7 points scored by the Green Bay Packers in the second half.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right?
Home on a Thursday. Home, right. All the variables.
And two goal line stances.
Yeah, two goal lines. Awesome stances.
Oh, by the way. Yeah. Hell yeah. Even though I just knocked my cord out.
Yeah, you did.
I can't hear a word any of you are saying right now.
Good. I want to keep talking about Quimby.
So, yeah, I mean, Kamu, what do you think of the Eagles' defense right now? What is everybody saying in meetings and in film study on the press? Like, how do you feel you guys are? Where are you after four games? What do you need to do?
Well, I mean, obviously, defense has a lot of injuries right now, but defense has always been, and this team in general has always been, a next man up mentality. And, you know, there's a couple of things that we did real well. Like you guys talked about it, you know, red zone, we played well. At the end of the day, yards matters, but the thing that matters the most is touchdowns and points.
Yeah, so you guys are going to give up yards between the 30s, so, I mean, and then you're going to tighten up.
Yeah, we could have done a little better on third down, you know, if my dumb ass stayed on sides that one time.
Wow.
You know,
that
would have definitely
that
helped.
Was not on the call list. But we weren't going to talk about
that. That was
today.
Not on the run sheet, Kamu.
I would have helped our third down, so that was not a great way to have my first game back.
I do have, like,
I'm coming back. I'm coming back.
All right. Stepped up as a man. It took your fire.
Let's assume that I'm inaccurate, which everybody loves to point out. Diaz, Rob, more importantly.
Yes.
Let's assume, however, I do want to point out one thing, which I believe is going to resonate through this, through our audience here live at Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia, 6 to 7, every Tuesday.
Wow. Wow.
I want to know why Doug went for two.
You know, that's a great question. I meant to ask him that question. I don't know. I don't understand the logic, but I think he's got some sort of an analytics sheet.
Well,
says,
I'll tell you the analytics right now. Ready?
Yeah.
As of last year, a two-point conversion needs only a 47.5% success rate to give a comparable point per attempt.
That's right.
NFL teams are converting, this is last year, at a 60% clip in 2018, which equals 1.2 points per two-point attempt. Now, if that's the case, I'm down. But God damn it, you better go for it with 2 points every touchdown.
That's what a lot of the analytics nerds say people should do, teams should do.
Just go for it. And we haven't even gotten to our last segment where we're going to talk about two-point conversions when we lost a kicker, even though we had one.
Yeah, that's still a slight. I'm sure, have they apologized to you for not letting you go kick the extra
points on the Diaz, shut up. Not yet. Shut up.
We'll hold it. That's a tease.
Rob.
If you listen to Doug while he went for the 2 points, is because if you don't get it, it's 7 points. If you kick it, okay, it's harder. You get the 8 points. But if you get it to nine, then even if they get eight,
I'm sorry
that's
if
why
you didn't
did
realize
it.
It's still not a given. You just found out that getting a 2 point conversion in the NFL is not easy.
I'm just telling you why he did it. I'm not saying you have to agree.
I think what's good, though, is that's the aggressiveness that they had
all
in
right,
2017.
If you're gonna be aggressive, go for it every time.
Okay. Hey, listen, they did it and they got it.
Tell them that tomorrow morning.
If we go back to the Dallas game in 2017, what's up, Kamu? All right. After Elliot went down, or after they realized, my man's a little in the head, all right, 3 out of 4 two-point conversions. But we're going to get to that in just a moment because I've got a complete segment on you coming up. All right. Anybody else want to talk anything Eagles update from Thursday before we talk about the Green Legion and the fact the fight in the stands had nothing to do with our people?
Nothing.
Oh, man, I had an answer for that on the Twitter and the Instagram. Like, is this you guys? Like, do you see a white neck of lanyard? No, not us. We never get in scraps.
Anybody else?
We don't. Yes.
Dave, what do you have for us?
I wasn't paying attention.
Good.
Dave never pays attention.
That's all I needed to know. Everybody, we are going to take our second break here. We're going to get right back. If you want to take a picture with Kamu, by all means, come on up. Take a photo. We're going to get out of his way.
Yeah, I'm just glad that they fired the vendor in Miami before Eagles fans get down there. The guy who charged $724 for two beers. All right?
Awesome.
Nobody cares. But it's just ahead of the thing. I just saw that. I mean, it's amazing. Nobody cares.
All right, definitely not paying attention on our last break segment. Hey, back here at Chickies and Chickies Beats, live from South Philadelphia. Chickies is now featuring a delicious Beyond Burger with Beyond Meat. Will you stop moving that table? What's wrong with
I'm
you?
I'm making sure Dave has room to get in.
All right.
You guys are so cute together.
It is cute.
Oh, God.
Sure to be a new game day favorite. Everybody, if you are anywhere close to Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, come down now. $2.75 lagers all night. We have a fantastic crowd out here tonight. Yay.
Thank you. Crowd. Thanks for coming.
And excellent guest, Kamu Grugier-Hill. Did I say that right?
I only took him the 47
minutes. Look at you all grown up.
He's all grown up, and he's all grown up. All right. We have a segment here. This is before our last segment, which we are going to go over our hour segment. But right now, we want to get to know Kamu. Uh-huh. Oh, I've got a lot to talk about here, brother.
he researched you.
You're in deep doo-doo. All right. You're 25 years old from Honolulu, Hawaii, in case you want to know why we all laid him. Too much?
Way too much.
6'2", 230. Played college at Eastern Illinois. Mm-hmm. You were a six-round draft pick from the Patriots.
Yeah.
Eagles picked you up. Your first year on the Eagles, all special teams.
Yeah.
All right. Second year, Super Bowl year. You were roughly about 90 plays on defense, a little high 80s. Mm-hmm. Last year, substantial rise. Close to 380, 400 plays. So your stock is obviously rising as a player. We all noticed it. Now you're in a contract year. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get too in-depth here, but you're also coming off an injury, which I know was not devastating. Thank God it was only a sprain.
Yeah.
How do you balance everything? Because, you know, we're also talking to a team captain here.
Yeah.
This is a Philadelphia Eagles team captain right here, you guys. All right? If it doesn't get any better, I don't know what does. How do you balance it? How do you go and say, look, I have to make sure my health is in order, but I also have to break some heads.
Yeah.
And I want to know where you find your balance there.
Well, you know, it's definitely hard. Coming into this year, I had a plan of, you know, like you said, I was trending in the right direction. And, you know, being the starting linebacker this year and going into the season with that, I was mentally preparing myself for what was about to happen. And obviously with the injury, being out for 8 weeks and already missing, I missed three regular season games. And that fourth game, it really was kind of like, should he go, should he not? And I was like, let's just do it anyway. But like you said, that's kind of a product of me just wanting to get back on the field. And, you know, missing games in your contract year is not the best thing, you know, best way to go about things. But I do have to make sure my health is in order. And, you know, the coaches are doing a good job of making sure that when I come back, I'm going to be fully back to where I was before and just picking up where I left off and stuff. So I'm excited for that.
How is your knee?
My knee's good. My knee's good, yeah. It's now it's just a matter of fact of getting back in shape, I think.
Just getting back to the game
it's
speed.
Funny. After the game, I walked in the locker room and Kamu was there, and I said, how'd it go out there? And he goes, man, I got to get in shape. Because I guess you noticed, like, you played such a different tempo in a game, and you hadn't experienced it.
Well, so really, that was my first practice since I got hurt, because I didn't
practice. The game.
The game was my first practice. So when I got hurt, you know, I obviously did my rehab and stuff, and then we took basically a two-week break of practice just going through walkthroughs because we had all those injuries and stuff. Well, in those 2 weeks, that was going to be my time where, hey, let me throw on some pads. Let me, you know, get some banging in and get acclimated to playing the game. But we didn't cut that out. So we just did walkthroughs. So going into that game was the first time I was in pads hitting people since I got hurt.
Woo! And Hollis, you know what it is getting banging in, right?
Oh, God. How about the year we went to the Super Bowl?
2004. That was before Kamu was born.
Before you were probably born, myself, and Derek Burgess were out the entire end of the season, and then we still came back to the. We had the first round bye. Their first game, their first drive, brutal. He had the big dogs standing like this. You know them, don't you? Tired as all get out. It's the big dog said, you stand back, put your hands on your hip like this. Yeah, just like that.
All right, so let's get to your highlight reel. And I know you want your highlight reel to be at the linebacker position, but all right, brother, I got to be honest with you. I had 350 people in Dallas in 2017. All right. Four kickoffs in that game.
Yeah.
All right. Obviously, we know Jake Elliott goes out on concussion protocol. All right. Guess who steps up? Your backup kicker, Gamo Grugier-Hill. Four kickoffs. Two go to the goal line. One, fair catch in the end zone. If there wasn't for a penalty, a big penalty, it was a personal foul penalty on the fourth. All right, that one's going inside the five-yard line. While we're going for all these two-point conversions, and Diaz just wouldn't shut the hell up earlier, at some point in time, did you come up to Doug, tap him on the back, and said, put me in, coach? Let me kick that extra point.
So at first, when they even came up to me, I was like, hey, you got a kick. I, like, laughed. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like, no, seriously, you have to kick. Like, Jake's out. And I was like, oh, shit, we better. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We're allowed one or two.
We better figure this out. So I go, you know, the funny thing, we go into halftime. I get a couple practice kicks, and I was terrible, literally on the ground. And I was like,
You missed the net on one of them.
So actually, my very first kick, we're on the sideline, and Donnie Jones goes up to me. I was like, hey, Donnie, you gotta teach me how to tee it up or whatever. I don't know, like, you know, whatever Jake does. And he's like, all right. So I tee it up, and he's like, do you want me to move the net closer? And I was like, no, dude, I got this, whatever. Completely whiffed, hit this lady in, like, the ninth row. I felt so bad, but I was like, this
and Doug
is
was
not,
watching, and he said, we're going for two.
This is not going to go well. But, yeah, so once I got those, you know, a couple kickoffs in, I was starting to feel comfortable, and I was like, I was hitting it straight or whatever, and I was telling Donnie, I was like, dude, I really think I could. You know, we were up by a decent amount at that point where, you know, the game was in our hands already, and I was like, even if they do block it or something, like, it's not really affect the game that much, so might as well just let me try. But, no, he didn't let me try.
All right. And because we have to say goodbye to you here very shortly, the question we ask every single player on our panel, what is your favorite thing to do when you're not playing football?
Well,
I won't ask if you're single because I know there's a lot of ladies out here that are checking you out.
You know what's great about the crowd? It's a lot of ugly guys and beautiful women.
It's great.
Perfect.
It's
perfect.
Like the panel.
It makes Rob and I feel like we have a shot.
Well, it's different because when I'm home, there's, you know, I have the beach and I go to the beach and do that kind of stuff. When here, I don't know what it is about here, but I turn into this huge beer drinker. I just want to go to the bar.
Philly's a beer city, my man.
Beer.
That's There's good stuff here.
And by the way, let me say this about Kamu. Was it last year when you recovered the fumble on the opening kickoff in Dallas?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the defining moment. Huge play. Whatever happened to that? Did you ever get an explanation from the officials?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We allowed our second one, that bullshit call?
Yeah. Yep. Gave it to the official, and next thing you know, they're saying it wasn't our ball. So I was, I don't know.
Well, the rest of the world knew exactly what took place.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cowboys bias?
No, it was all bad. The dumb referees.
There it is. And
Hollis is a big fan of NFL referees.
And they just got a damn 7-year extension. What the hell for?
Can we ask Kamu about the Jets? We have a Jets game, right?
Oh, yeah.
We do. We're going to talk about that on our final break.
Before he leaves. He's leaving now.
Yeah.
He's
about to leave. Kamu, tell us. What do you feel about?
What do you know about the Jets?
Have you ever had mono?
We're getting into that, too.
I thought mono was like, you know, after you graduate from college, like, you can't get it anymore. So I was super surprised that he had mono.
Hey, listen, he's a young quarterback in New York.
He's in the club or something, just sucking face.
It's kissing disease.
But, no, I mean, the Jets are a good team. You know, obviously they're having their struggles or whatever it is right now. Same as every other team in the NFL. But, you know, we got to come prepared. Le'Veon's something serious.
Of course.
And, you know, we're going to have to make sure we take care of him.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Yeah. Words of wisdom from those who
know.
That's
about it. It's like Le'Veon Bell or bust.
All right. Everybody listen up. This is Kamu's last segment with us. If you want to get a picture with him or an autograph, make sure you come up now. He's not going to be with us on our last segment. We will be back with more Green Legion. All right. Back on Green Legion Radio. Live at Chickies and Beach, South Philadelphia. We are going to be saying goodbye to Kamu Grugier-Hill. who's still here taking photos, signing autographs. Thank you. We appreciate you, brother. Kamu, big round of applause.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kamu.
Now, Quimby, is it true that there's a different Eagles player here every week?
There is a different Eagles player here every week, Mr. Spadaro. Thank you for setting that up for me. And we hope, honestly, I know you are considered a guest here. We appreciate you being here for four weeks.
When I'm able to be here, if you want me here, I'll be. I'll come.
Every time you can be, brother. We want you here.
Awesome. Song.
You guys, if you don't get your information from Dave Spadaro, you're not getting it from the right source. We appreciate you being
so
here.
Nice. From the Homer.
It's
the Homer, huh?
Somebody's got to be it.
Where's Connie?
She's right over there.
Right over here. All right, so. We're going to talk about the Jets real quick, and we're going to get the hell out of here because we are a little bit beyond our normal time.
We like to talk.
Sam Darnold is still suffering from making out with the wrong girl or guy.
Yeah, wow. Or Susie Colbert.
And if you're laughing at the guy comment, you're going to get a human resource violation letter from Connie.
Yep.
Because that is appropriate these days. What do we know about Luke Falk? Because right now it doesn't seem like Darnold's playing.
I mean, hey, that guy... He's the third string? He was signed off of the practice squad before going in. He was the emergency quarterback to the emergency quarterback?
Correct.
I mean, that guy, he's getting no reps and gets into a pro game on, you know, national TV.
Correct. Yeah, the Jets are a train wreck.
Slightly.
They're talking about changing up the offensive line.
Oh, God.
They don't have a ton of weapons. C.J. Mosley on defense, their best linebacker, they signed him to an $80 million contract, whatever it was. He's
hurt.
Probably not going to play. And yet, you know, Hollis, you've been there. And we've all seen it, guys. We've all seen the Eagles as heavy favorites.
13.5, I
lose
think.
Lose games. Right. So,
and it's,
you know,
it's,
like, how do you, as a player, everybody around the city is talking about how easy this game's going to be.
Right.
How do you block that out?
As a player, you have to block it out because, perfect example, you remember my rookie year when we went to the playoffs? And
it was the Colts, wasn't it?
No, we was playing against the Jets. They were 1-14.
Yeah.
1-14. And what did Ty Detmer get on TV and say? He said, we can't beat the Jets. We need to be at home anyway. We should kill them. And they came out and gave us tooth and nail.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Based on that, I'm going to throw you with another scary statistic.
Okay.
The Philadelphia Eagles' lifetime record against the New York Jets, 10-0.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
We have never lost a game to the Jets in the history of playing them.
Interesting.
But it still makes you nervous, though.
It makes me really goddamn nervous.
Something like that. They're off a bye, right?
We're 10 days rest. That counters.
It's also not a foregone conclusion that Darnold's not playing because they said they were doing tests on his
Be honest, Darnold has not been lighting up for the Jets since he's been there.
Yeah, I was about to say, Darnold is not like
you should
the
be more scared of Darnold than Luke Falk.
Well, you know what? In all fairness, I'll tell you right now, I don't mind Darnold in there because there's no way in hell when you have mono and you have a spleen, you can't do cardio.
No, you can't.
You can do none of it. He'll be gassed by the second quarter. I'm fine with that. Put his ass in.
The one
100%.
Thing,
I'm pretty sure I'm not an NFL doctor. I have no medical degree, but if they're doing spleen tests on Tuesday, I think it's highly questionable he'll be in the game on Sunday. I don't know.
Why are we scared of Luke Falk?
We're not scared of Luke Falk.
We're
just playing contrarian here. Okay. We're not scared at all. Birds by 19.
Right. What we want to know is what Dave thinks is going to be the outcome of the game.
I mean, I think the Eagles are going to win the game. I think they're serious about things. They understand that after this game, you go on the road for three straight weeks.
Yes.
It's going to be tough.
And then the month of November is really brutal. There's really no margin for error anymore after those two losses. So go out, take care of business. Doug always talks about being 1-0 every week. It sounds really boring, but if you have that mentality, you go out and you do it, and don't get any more injuries, and let's see what happens. But I think the Eagles certainly should whip up on the New York Jets. There's no doubt about it.
The only thing that kind of not even scares me, but should be everybody should be leery of is Greg Williams being the defensive coordinator over there. And,
yeah, that's a good point.
He's
Avante's Jedi. Jedi.
He's a mastermind of sending pressure and confusing quarterbacks.
So bounties.
It'll be a good test for our offense. I put it that way. A really good test.
You know what? You know what else is awesome right now?
What's that?
We have had a fantastic crowd at South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's here this week.
Bigger every week.
Seriously.
It's great.
On that note, real fast, we got some giveaways. Pull your raffle tickets out right now, everybody.
This is for a...
Oh, and before they go, we want to say goodbye to our good friends, Ken Davies from City Fitness Philadelphia.
What up?
One of our sponsors, as well as Jeff Quinn from Echelon Fitness. Appreciate that as well, you guys. Thanks for coming out, man. Hey, Ken, we should have played better yesterday. I know, but that's all right. You still hit the ball like a son of a bitch. We appreciate you guys coming out. You guys, for T-shirts, pull them out. Ready? Last three digits. 253, 257, 281, and 271. If you have any of these, come on up and get a free T-shirt. And for the free tailgate for two this week before the Jets game at a location we will tell you when you come up. 277. If you are 277, you won the tailgate. By all means, you guys get up here right now. Final thoughts, everybody.
Start with you, Diaz.
Well, I mean, it's big news today because Sixers camp opened, so the second season, we're done with our collective regional Phillies nightmare. We step into the Sixers. We try to let you lead.
Shut up, Diaz.
No, I got something I got to get off my chest. All right, and it's for all these people here. We're living in an amazing time where we finally have these self-checkout things at the Giant and the CVS and everything, and the purpose of that is to move through the line quickly. So if you got your big cart, you better be speeding through these things. And I'm sick of walking up to these things and seeing someone who can't get it go, and I gotta wait 30 minutes to get my checkout. So everybody, just do
is
a little bit
like
better.
This?
Yeah. Do a little bit better this week. Thank you.
Here's the
he doesn't get to talk as much anymore.
Well, I don't know where that went, Diaz, but go Birds. Your turn, Chris.
Trust
TTP, everybody.
Go Birds.
Trust the process.
Go Birds.
I'm with Dave here. I think that the Eagles, they know that they have no room for error now. It's time to take care of business this upcoming Sunday. Leave no doubt. And then let's hit the road for 3 weeks, and let's take at least two out of those three. Be huge. Especially with the way that Buffalo, you don't know whether they're quarterback. And then we got the Bears coming up, and I think Trubisky's going to be out. But big time. Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's great. I want to thank all the fans who went with you guys to Green Bay, because that made a big difference. It really did. And when Kamu talked about it, how when the Packers offense was on the field, how loud it was, fans, you do make a difference. And bring the energy on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field.
Dave, honestly, they knew exactly where the big group was. When Howard scored, all right, on that.
They knew exactly. They jumped right
they
up
knew
in the
that
stands.
Quarter. Yeah. All right, and they all came in, and literally that was where we had probably 400 of our 550 people. It was awesome. They know it. The fans know it. They feed off of each other. That's part of what the Green Legion is all about. And I don't want to turn it into a commercial for the Green Legion. It already is the entire time. But it's awesome. They recognize, we recognize, it's a perfect synergy.
Absolutely.
Good things.
Two things. One, of course, go Eagles. I think we'll have a big win. And since this is get off your chest and you can say whatever you want, every week I will use this for shameless self-promotion. So if you want to listen to where Quimby cut his teeth in radio and where Diaz cut his teeth in radio, you can listen to the Rob V Show every Thursday on RobVRadio.com.
That's a $1,500 bill.
For a mature audience.
That's a $1,500 spot.
That I can plug this on my show.
We do have different guests like you. Mandy.
We do have different guests on the program.
Yes. Kamu is a good-looking man, but everybody look at Mandy.
There's Mandy.
Hey, Mandy.
Sorry, there's my shameless self-plug, Quimby.
We also have Connie on all the time, but I'm not allowed to clap for that anymore. Human resource violation. Yay!
Not on my show.
Yo, Connie's the best.
That's encouraged.
And I'm gonna get this off my chest before next week because I'm going to forget, and it's going to piss me off. Small story about the Super Bowl in 2018. All right, when we went to Minnesota, all right, we have Minnesota coming up in 2 weeks. I am dreading that trip. All right, when we got to our buses to come back from the game, after winning the Super Bowl for the first time ever, all right, there were two Minnesota thugs walking around looking for Eagles fans to get in a fight with. All right, if you're going to Minnesota next week, don't get involved because they're looking for it. I got jacked in the jaw twice. Nobody saw it. Nobody cared. I was trying to get these guys away from our buses. Minnesota fans suck nuts. Is that good?
Cashew peanuts.
A man of many words.
Good restraint. Suck,
what a wordsmith.
Suck nuts. I cannot wait to go to Minnesota. I can't wait to win this week, which I do believe we will take care of business. And then we go to Minnesota, all right, and come back 4-2, and I will laugh at every single person that lives in that godforsaken state on the way out. That's off my chest, you guys. Anything else?
You feel better?
Not so much.
Looking forward to next week.
Absolutely. Hey, by the way, don't forget, Chickies has you covered in all the casinos with Parks in Bensalem and the Tropicana. Once again, saying goodnight from Chickies and Pete's live in South Philadelphia, the controversial Green Legion radio show. Good night, everybody.
TTP.